Thanks for joining us online. And if you're a guest at Wetumpka or Bush Lake or here at Chanhassen, we just want to say thanks for coming and trust it will be just a great day for you. When Carrie and I invite people to come to our home and they're our guests, we always find it to be a really honorable time. It's so meaningful. We get to know them a little better. They get to know us. And we hope that you just feel at home in your coming if you're a guest today. And it's a day that's a special day for us. You're going to learn about us and our vision in our church. And we're grateful for all that God is doing. As 1 year ago, our Westwood family gave a declarative yes to participate in a generosity initiative to accelerate our 2028 Here, Near, Far vision. I mean, it was extraordinary. And we called it Love Builds. And so last week, we looked in the rearview mirror at what God has done in just 1 year. It's so extraordinary. And today, we're looking through the windshield at God and what he wants to do ahead of us. And we're going to just put a spotlight on a few of those things. You did find a program or a brochure there called Love Builds. Highlight some of the things that happened in the last year. You can access that if you're online as well. And we just celebrate even answered prayer from last week's gathering. If you weren't here, please tune in to the experience. It was really inspiring. And some of you were so moved that you've engaged in financial generosity since last Sunday. Thank you for that. But especially for answered prayer related to the Hope House, we put a spotlight on it, our home for kids in crisis, a shelter that's on our Chanhassen campus. We've been needing a build partner so we could put a shovel in the ground, and two people from our church family said we could come alongside and make that happen. So this week we'll have that answered prayer. We're really grateful for that, which means we'll put a shovel in the ground this summer. And by the way, Mike Max of WCCO News picked up on the story, and he came over this week at the end of the week and did a spotlight on the Hope House, interviewing CJ and Rod Provard, our executive director, and it was broadcast Friday evening during the sports rally. So I just want to encourage you, be inspired, go view it. God is on the move, and we give thanks for the answered prayer. Could we do that and just say thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in our midst? As we look into through the windshield, I don't want to just make it about us collectively, but us personally, because it works. God works through us. You know, vision is essential for a vital life, for your life personally, and for us collectively. There are four aspects to vision that have guided our steps in our history at Westwood, but they guide your steps personally as well. That vision is the ability to see. It's the faith to believe. It's the courage to do, and it's the hope to endure. Let me restate it this way. Vision is the ability to see God's preferred future for your life, personally and collectively for his church. It's the faith to believe that God will provide the resources to see that vision fulfilled, that where God guides, God does provide, and you have that faith he will do so. It's the courage to do what you have to do to partner with God to see the vision fulfilled, that God ordained your role, your voice, your face, your presence, your gifts to be part of seeing that vision fulfilled. And then it's the hope to endure all the obstacles, challenges that come, and there are plenty of them in that journey of seeing vision fulfilled. Well, you may be in a place right now where you feel little hope, and you need that bounce because there's so many obstacles and challenges, they just weigh you down. Some of you may be in a place where you need courage because to step up and take a step forward to say, I want to be involved with God's mission for my life and for us collectively, it feels risk-taking. For some of you, you just lack a vision of God's preferred future for your life, so you're dealing with the uncertainty of that. God, would you fill in that gap along the way? And we go through seasons of uncertainty. We need God's help to see with greater clarity. And part of that is true. But in the midst of the uncertainty, there is always a certainty. And the certainty is that God has a mission and a vision for your life and for us collectively. And part of that mission was revealed in Acts 1:8 when he says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the world. That's where Here, Near, Far vision comes to life. And that we give all four of those aspects into the journey. So what I like to do is look through that windshield and just put a spotlight on a few things that are ahead defining again the here part of our ministry. By God's power and in faith, we will start 10 new microsites, multi-sites, or churches by 2028. Last week, we got an update on what's happened in 1 year or since 2018 when we first cast the vision, because we were in the midway point. We said, let's reaccelerate coming out of COVID. People are finding their connection again. And so we announced last week that we are 6 out of those 10 on our way to the future and all that God wants to do. And we're grateful for all that he's doing in it. And now the future, where does it go from here? I'd like to just populate 3 things to put into your mind for the rest of 24 going into 2025. And it's kind of tethered to some good news for us as a church family. Easter next year, 2025, will be our 30th birthday. And we can't believe 30 years have passed, and God has done great things in that journey. And I want to highlight, in fact, when I was welcoming people coming into the Chanhassen campus today, I met a family of 7, and their 7th child was born on Wednesday this past week. And they're coming in the door with 7 children. I'm just going to tell you, I was just lifted. It's made my day, because little babies just remind you of life, right? And so we're going to have this beautiful birthday, and we're going to celebrate in several ways. We're going to put a focus on kids and teens at West Tonka, at Bush Lake, in a number of fronts. We've used Love Build resources to help us build more infrastructure and greater reach to kids, because they need to be reached. We're going to provide opportunity for kids who may not have an opportunity to go to camps. We're going to elevate the mental health series we did last year and continue to deal with that sensitive subject, so kids get a priority of focus going into this next season. But also in our definition, we're going to elevate the microsites and the church planting opportunity that is before us. Let me just share the perspective of microsites again. They're a little smaller of a unit, 10 to 50 people. They may be connected to Westwood in full or in part or not at all. They could be independent. They all have a common denominator in that they're seeking to reach people that are hard to reach, that might not come through our church doors. So there's this hearing that you have from us all the time where we say, you know, go to church and invite a friend. This is like the inverse of this. Go to your friend and bring the church, because some people won't come through the church door. And so we are looking at what that might look like. Let me just give you an example of something that's on its way, we believe, to be a new microsite for us. There is a group of people who've served in prison. And so they're coming out of prison, and they're trying to find themselves. And it's a difficult thing. Can you imagine being put away? Then you come out, and you go, is there hope for me? Where do I go? I may not be inclined to come through the doors of a church, but what if the church comes to them? So we have sent Matt Moeller, who has some experience in understanding what incarceration looks like, and he started a gathering. They're only 2 months old. They're meeting one Saturday a month. They just had their second Saturday. In the last one that they were at, they had 50 people who had been incarcerated come. Why? Because they're looking for hope. They want to believe that there's a purpose that God would have for their lives, a vision for their lives. So Matt is teaching them the Discovery Bible study, helping them to learn how to be in love like Jesus, that indeed Jesus does have a purpose for their life, and that there's a bright future for you if you step into this arena seeking God's vision. We believe that will become one of our microsites in the months and the years to come. That gives you an idea. Some of you might be doing things like that with unchurched people that we could naturally come alongside of you. So in September, we're going to have an equipping for our own church family. You'll hear more about that later, but that's part of our future. Also looking through the windshield, however, will be a new church plant. We don't know exactly when. We don't know exactly where. We invite you to be in prayer about it. We've done them in the past, but it's an important part when you celebrate your 30th birthday to continue to give birth. And that's what happened for us. Many of you may not be aware that Westwood is a church plant. We came out of Wooddale Church in Eden Prairie. And it was a vision that was cast when I was there on staff, in fact, and the senior pastor cast a compelling vision about the ability to reach people with the love of Jesus Christ through church plants. Still considered the most effective way to reach people with the love of Jesus Christ. It was a bold vision. It met some resistance because it brings about change. But they boldly went forward with that vision. We were the third church plant that came out of that. And this week we started talking about what it would mean for us as a church to enter back into that as well. And our team put together a tree of life. Wooddale said yes to do this in 1991. Can I show you what's happened since 1991? We started populating the tree that shows the births of churches that came out of it. And there's the trunk, Wooddale's at the center of it. The branches come out to the first nine churches, and then beyond that are daughters of those churches. So there are granddaughters, there's nieces and nephews to Wooddale, but it means you got a lot of cousins, is what I'm saying. You got a lot of cousins, but it works. And so we, this past week, had lunch together with seven of the original founders of the first branch churches. We were still alive. We're still kicking. You know, we still look young, most of us. Some of us, not so much. But we're alive, and we love this vision. And it stirred up this possibility. Could we do a church plant together? We call ourselves the Wood Chips. Could we have a wood chip church plant? Would that be fun to do something like that? We don't have any formal plans in place, but we're dreaming about the future, what God wants to do. It's an important part of what's before us. And so the question is so important for us to step into the possibility of moving forward with boldness with the here vision. The near side is defined this way. By God's power, in faith, and through partnerships, we will launch 100 new church plants for the ethnically diverse populations in the Twin Cities. Last week, again, please take a look at that. You'll be encouraged. There are about 196 nations in the world, 162 in the Twin Cities. And we gave the updated report. We have 43 new churches planted already, with the goal moving toward that 100 by 2028. God is on the move in this. And I want to put the spotlight on a nonprofit called Merge. It was founded by Sammy Wagnoni. Sammy is here, member of Westwood. And he has a ministry called Shine. He's an evangelist that goes around the world, but a ministry that deals with our Twin Cities area called Merge. In 2021, we met at the Capitol and invited the churches to come together and link arms, the ethnically diverse churches, especially to sit at that table and share the gospel, and it was a powerful, powerful experience. We're doing another one in 2025. Here's a glimpse of what's happening.
We come from many nations, from many backgrounds, from many ethnicities, and that is the beauty of the Twin Cities. And so take a moment to look at your neighbor and to appreciate them. God is more than enough. And that in the midst of the brokenness of the world, God is more than enough. There is hope for your future. There is hope for tomorrow. There is hope for your children. There is hope for your parents. God wants us to place our hope in Him.
Isn't that great? That music is just up your alley, right? It's going to be so much fun. Great music, concerts, as well as food, but the gospel will be shared. And pray, churches will come out of that. That's near. That's ahead in 2025 summer. And then in the far, if we take a look at that definition, by God's power in faith and through partnerships, we will launch 10,000 church plants in the least reached regions of the world by 2028. This has just been awe-inspiring for us. Rather than hearing from me and my lips, I'm going to invite Heather Wilford to come. Heather heads up our Here Near Far ministry, so your yes has come around some of the work they've done. Would you join me in thanking Heather for joining us and sharing this story? Heather, how long have you been us on our team?
7 years as of about a week ago.
Is that right? Seven years. Yeah. Oh, that's a biblical number.
It means, there you go.
Yeah. It's not the finish and complete. It's the beginning of all things new. And we plucked her out of the school system. And it has been an amazing gift to have you on the team. You've done so well. When we think about this number, 10,000, it started with 1,000 in 2018. Right. We just surpassed it so quickly. We go, we're not bold enough. We're not thinking God is big enough. We need to move in that direction. He said, let's make it 10,000. But what gives us the confidence that 10,000 is really feasible?
Yeah, well, we're just seeing God move in powerful ways. If you were here last week, you heard our update about Myanmar and how even in the midst of a coup, they planted over 1,000 churches in just a year. And Westwood was able to be a part of investing in over 600 of those churches. And we're seeing multiplication like that happening around the world. And I think one of the common denominators to why this is happening is just a new vision for collaboration across churches, denominations, organizations that's happening in the places around the world where the church is moving quickly. And our partnership with the Timothy Initiative is an organization that's really leading the charge for that collaboration.
Yeah. It's actually historic, friends. It surprises us because we're called to be united, but we tend to silo by our denominations and our nonprofits, et cetera. But we're coming together. We're sitting around the same table, I think for the first time in history, with at least the scope around the world. And that collaboration is something we saw firsthand when we were in Togo in December.
Yeah.
In fact, I want to put up an image on the screen. This is a remarkable photo. You just don't know it's remarkable. It looks like just a photo. But what's happening around that table is remarkable, and it's historic. What's happening?
Right. So we were able to be at a dinner where there was a gathering of five of the major church planting gospel sharing organizations that exist in Togo. So you're seeing leaders from each of those organizations having conversations as they've been meeting for the last year about how they can work together for the sake of the gospel. I heard the phrase used, they're putting down their logos and their egos for the sake of the gospel, because it's about a collective work. And so they were there discussing a strategy that's called Achieve. And so Achieve, we've got it up there. It's actually an acronym. It stands for a church in every village, everywhere. And I just think that's so cool. So they are talking about how they can achieve this idea of a church in every village. So each of those organizations has been dedicating personnel to go out day in and day out, village by village through the nation of Togo, and asking strategic questions that help them identify, is there a church? Are there believers in this community? Or is this community unreached? And with that, they're sharing the data to a common database, creating maps. And we actually have an image to show you of what those maps look like. And so after they've done this, they bring the data together, and as you can see, each of those spaces is a different village. And someone went into there and said, this one is green, it has a church. Or we found believers, but there is no church, so it's yellow. Or if there is no gospel presence, it was red. And they anticipate having the entire nation mapped by May, at which time they're going to gather with 40 other organizations in Togo to say, how do we do this? How do we go after the red and the yellow so there's not a single village left unreached? It's just remarkable to see what God's able to do. And through Love Builds, we've been able to help fund 500 church planters to get training. And in the next year, we're going to fund another 500 church planters for that sake.
So part of your generosity has brought us to this point. Togo will be the first country to have completed the Achieve. It's going to go into every country, that kind of intentionality.
Right.
But with that, some of them risk their lives. They're going to villages where there's opposition to the gospel to assess what's going on. But so it is whenever we step out for God. There's risk in that. And you experienced that when we were in Togo. In fact, your hardest day when we were on that trip, which, by the way, if you do a mission trip, which we sure encourage you to do a mission trip sometime in your life, experience what God is doing around the world. It'll make your heart big for the world. And what you see, though, is it's not always glory. It's hard doing mission trips. And on this trip together, you had your hardest day, you weren't sure you'd get through the day, ended up being one of your best days because of a beautiful thing that God did on that day. So just share that story with us.
Yeah, so it was actually almost the last day of our trip, but we took our team. So in Togo, the country right next door is Benin. And Togo and Benin are considered the epicenter or the birthplace of the religion that's practiced there, which is voodoo. And voodoo is a dark religion. There's significant idol worship and just this feeling of oppression there. And so we went into Benin, into a community that is just, the voodoo was present everywhere we went. I mean, we walked around and there was an idol in front of every single house that people would, you know, worship or sacrifice to. And in the center of that town is a python temple. It's 400 years old because they believe in that community that pythons are deities. They worship them, they sacrifice them, they have priests to them. So we as a team decided to go and tour this python temple. And I will just tell you that it was my hardest day because you could just feel the physical presence of evil in that space. And we walked through and we had a tour guide, and he was just, he spoke English, and he brought us through, and at one point he said to us, would you like to hold one of the pythons, because they keep them there, and our team all each other and said, no, we do not, we were not going to do that, but instead he said, okay, well, would you like to come in and view this room where the pythons are kept, so they have like 30 or 35 of them that are on site, so I'm just warning you, we have a photo of going into that room if you don't like snakes, but as we stepped into that room, the tour guide who spoke English, he looked at me and he said, why don't you want to hold that python, or why don't you want to hold the snake? Are you afraid? And I said, no, I'm not afraid. I worship a different God. I worship Jesus. And he smiled at me. And I thought that was odd in the moment, but I didn't think anything of it. So we came back out and we're standing around and our tour was done, but our tour guide just kept saying, what else do you want to ask me? What other questions do you have for me? And a few people asked him questions and it's like he just didn't want us to end the tour. And as we're standing there and he's talking, all of a sudden I get just such a clear, distinct God calling to say, ask him his story. And my heart was pounding. I mean, I was like kind of jumping out of my skin trying to like wait for him to pause so I could ask. And so I said, tell us your story. And he looked at us and he's like, me? I said, yeah, you know, about you, your parents, your background. Tell us about you. And he smiled. And here's a picture of him. He said, I don't believe in any of this. My parents were saved by missionaries in Nigeria when I was a kid, and so I believe in Jesus. Mm. He's there because he is in school to become a translator and needed a place to practice English. And it was a moment where all that darkness just melted away because I thought, if God can place a believer in the heart of a voodoo temple, God can be at work anywhere. It just rocked me. And I also was just struck by the power of that simple question, tell me your story. Because it's easy. All of us can do that. And how quickly we run by life and we don't stop to ask someone their story. And it opens up just a beautiful opportunity to talk about God, to share the gospel.
It's a good takeaway to share your story. Do you ever find that when you, with a friend or with even a stranger, you ask them about their story, they don't stop talking. Because people love to tell their story.
Right.
And with that comes an invitation for them to learn about Jesus or to invite them even to our Easter services. But just briefly, how can people come and get engaged with our Here Near Far ministry?
Yeah, we'd love to have you plug in. You know, first and foremost, prayer is our first thing. We would love to have you be praying for our partners, for folks like our tour guide or like the church planters that are going door to door and bringing the gospel where it isn't. So we would invite you to pray. But we'd also love for you to be hands-on. There's a lot of opportunities to get involved, whether it's going on one of our FAR teams. We have many of them going out in the next year. There's opportunities for you to participate from here. So go to our website. You can get information there. And then if you're here on campus today, or if you're at our West Tonk or Bush Lake campuses, we will be here with a virtual reality experience. It is really cool. I want you to come and check it out. You will get to see an experience of the church planting work that's happening over in Africa. It's with the 3D goggles or the Oculus goggles and everything. So we'll be here till 2. So if you want to come on over, sign up. We'd love to have you jump in on that too.
Yeah, I'm going to do that after the service. So come on over and we'll enjoy that. Thanks for all that you do and
you,
the
Joel.
Team does. Would you join me in thanking Heather as well? So again, I just say thank you for this last year, the yes that you so declaratively gave for Here Near Far, and anticipate and expect that God is doing great things still ahead. If I could just bring it to a personal note from the Word of God into our own journey when it comes to vision. You know, I look at how Jesus had this encounter with Paul, or Paul with Jesus, the apostle, and would change the trajectory of his life. And essentially, Jesus was saying, just have a commitment to align your life with the vision of God for your life, is what he says. And he does that, even to the point of death. We find him in a prison in Rome, and he knows he's about to die. In fact, he's going to be beheaded, but he kind of writes his last will and testament, writes some letters to people. And what does he do with young Timothy, who will take the baton of leadership himself? And he says, Timothy, live your life aligned with the vision of God, and good comes from that. In that beautiful letter, which we have in the scriptures, there is a sentence that Paul puts there that has three declarative, instructive moments for Timothy that helps him to align his life with the vision of God. And I've taken those three instruction moments and put them into three questions. They were given to me when I was a young man by a mentor. I've shared them in different leadership settings, but I want to share them with you. with the invitation that you would apply them to your own personal life and God's purpose and mission for your life, but as well for us collectively as the church, because we are the family of God. And it stems from this little line that you find in the letter to Timothy that reads this way: do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. There are three instructions for young Timothy that I think speak, they have to me, they've made a difference, and I pray they do to you. I'll put them in a question format. The first one is this: is the Lord well pleased? Do you live your life in a way that the Lord is well pleased? Again, look what he says here. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved. And when you hear that and read that, it's almost intimidating, because there's just something natural about us that feels like God is probably disappointed in me. He would disapprove of me. And so what we do is we hijack that feeling and we try to earn our way toward God's approval. And we make it about us. But earning is not what Paul is speaking about here at all. In fact, we know from other letters that he's written to Ephesians that we are saved by grace through faith, not by works, because it's not of our own doing. Our salvation, the life we have, the vision of God comes as a gift. It is a gift given to us, so we receive it. We don't earn it. God gives it, we receive it. We don't earn it, but do your best. There is effort involved. And what is the focus of the effort? Do your best to present yourself to God. That's the focus of the effort that brings us approval. And the best place to look is to Jesus himself, because Jesus, when he's about to go full throttle into his ministry, remember, he's baptized, he comes out of the water, a voice speaks to him and says, "This is my son in whom I love and am well pleased." And you go, why did God say he was well pleased? Well, Jesus gives a specific, direct answer. And he says, "Behold, I have come to do your will." And so God is pleased in the son because the son finds all his pleasure in doing the will of God. And God is pleased in us when we are pleased to do the will of the Father. That's what he invites us to step into. And it's a powerful thing to begin to step into that, because the voices we listen to change. We look for his voice to be the primary voice. But it's hard because we have all kinds of voices around us. And friends, it's just easy to listen to people and what they think about you and what they want for your life. And yet we find that there is this inclination we have then to move into people-pleasing, which is simply doing all we can to go out of our way to please people. So let me just make it clear that the call in our life is not flattery, it's faithfulness. The call in our life is not to be a chameleon to all these different voices. It is to be a catalyst for the vision that God has for us. It's just important when it comes to the voices that matter most in terms of what God thinks of us versus what people think of us. Just be reminded, I always love that little ditty, that in your 20s, you're all concerned with what everybody thinks about you. And in your 30s, you don't care what anybody thinks about you because you don't have time. And in your 40s, you realize nobody's thinking about you anyway. Would you just let it go? It just moves in that direction, right? Be free from that. But I will say this, God thinks about you every day. And he has a vision for your life and a purpose for your life. You want to step into that beautiful realm of seeing that vision fulfilled. That's what God gives to us. Is the Lord well pleased? The second question is simply, is the work well done? This is important because we all have vocations, right? We have these arenas. Some of you are teachers, bankers, realtors, maybe a parent. But when it comes to the work we do, we all work for the Lord, no matter your vocation. And the manner of our work truly matters. Look again what it says here. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed. To do our work is in a way that there's no shame with it, but shame tends to hover over us far too much. So do your best by offering yourself to do the will of the Lord in your life, and you will find this approval from God. Do your best to work as unto the Lord, and there will not be shame in your life and your journey when it comes to the work that you do. So again, it's doing our best. But doing our best here is not about perfection. And we can hijack doing our best by being excellent, which I think is a great value to have. That is to take what God has given us and to do our best with it. I mean, if you're a student and you go into the classroom and Jesus is teaching the class, you're going to go, I'm going to do my best. If you walk into the marketplace, into your office, and your supervisor is Jesus, you're going to do your best. Excellent is a great value to have, but let's not hijack it to make it about perfection, because perfection just squeezes the life out of you. I'm mindful when I taught at the seminary of a student, very good student, who unfortunately had some personal crisis in her family, so she had to miss a number of classes, but still was a good student. When the class was all done, I gave her a solid B because she was a good student, but she wasn't present, couldn't do everything, and I thought it was a very generous B. Not so much did she think so. And when she got that, she was livid. And in the faculty review, I got a boatload of words. And I even got a phone call from her, kind of like, how dare you? She said, she's in her mid-30s, she said, I have never received a B in my life. I am a straight A student until your class. You gave me my first B. And I felt horrible for her because, you know, you can get straight A's and flunk life. And we put pressure on people to be quote unquote perfect when nobody's perfect. Our best learning comes out of our mistakes and our failures. Not that I'm encouraging that, it just happens that way. So we have this beautiful invitation to step into a transformation. Don't be conformed to the ways of this world. Be transformed by the renewal of your mind. That's what it means to do your work well. Be caught up in the transformation of the power of God and the will of God in your journey. I'm going to close with this last question in here. Is the word well used? Look again what Paul says to Timothy. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, and who correctly handles the word of truth. That is, who correctly handles this word, the voice of the Lord that instructs us so clearly. Do we handle it correctly? Are we clear? Is it compelling? And of course, we know that word is not only the voice of God revealed in the scriptures, it's the person of Jesus himself in John 1:1, that he says that he is indeed the word, and the word was the beginning, and the word dwelt with God, and the word is God. It is Jesus himself. So how do we handle Jesus and our relationship with him and the instruction of his word? Is it compelling? Is it clear? Is it accurate? I want to take those three questions applied to us personally, that God has a vision for you collectively as well, not just personally. And I put the three questions back. Is the Lord well pleased when we look at our here, near, far vision? Is it being done by following the will of our Father? The second question, is the work well done? Is he well pleased by the Spirit? Is the work well done? Are we giving ourselves to the work by his power for his glory? And is the word well used? Are we guided by the word that is given to us? Is it accurate? Is it correct? Is it compelling when he says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the world, here, near, and far. That's the call he's given to us. And if we answer yes, which we have said as a church, a declarative yes, then I will have eyes to see his preferred vision for my life and our church. I will have the faith to believe that God will provide what is needed to see it fulfilled. I will have the courage to do what he asks me to do, to step into seeing the vision fulfilled. And I will have the hope to endure all the obstacles and challenges. And there are many, but we're never left alone. We are given the grace of God. So this year, 2024, we've elevated Colossians 3:17, another word from Paul, as a theme verse to remind us to live our lives aligned with the vision of God. Would you join me and recite it together? And we'll put it on the screen for you. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Whatever you do, in word or deed, let's do it in the name of the Lord. So pray with me. Father God, thank you for a gift of life that would so transform us that we can never be the same again, that we have a desire to align our lives with your will and your way, to be caught up in that transformation. And in so doing, to feel your approval, and in so doing, to see shame removed. We don't have to live in that place. We have a freedom to live for you. So Father God, do your work in us. Let our yes today move us into the future, here, near, and far, knowing that by your power, we get to be your witnesses. What a privilege. We do it to your honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Just stay seated for a moment. I'm going to have the campus pastors at each site, and then Clint, come and just share a personal word before we go.